Please stand. Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship and welcome to all of you who are joining us from home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg and this is Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. We are so glad that you are here with us today. This is the seventh and final Sunday of the Easter season. But you probably already noticed in the bulletin, we are also observing the ascension of our Lord today, the ascension of Jesus, which takes place 40 days after he rose from the dead. And yes, I can count. Normally, this would take place on a Thursday, but our circuit did not have their ascension service this year, so we decided that we were going to celebrate the ascension here on Sunday morning. And so all of our readings and hymns are going to be pointing toward that really special feast of the ascension, which historically was actually just as celebrated and as important as Christmas and Easter. Over the last several years of the church's history, maybe we've gotten away from that a little bit and we don't have as many extra traditions to go along with it, but we are going to celebrate today. And so we're glad that you are up, that you are ascended, and that you are here with us. We're going to follow Divine Service Setting 1, which is all printed for you in the bulletin. We begin with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the words of the introit. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are his forever.
The Lord is at your right hand.
He will shatter.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord has
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Please remain standing as we sing our ascension hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind, and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We chant responsively our psalm of the day, Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. He subdued peoples under us, and nations under our feet. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is "The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen and ascended Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul gives some thoughts here in this passage about the importance of the ascension of Jesus Christ, especially in the latter half of this passage. And in the sermon, I'm also going to make a reference to another passage of Scripture that actually was not part of our readings today, but we're going to take a brief look at one of the chapters from Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, and take a look at what John sees in his vision of heaven and how that relates to the ascension of Jesus. In the end, the most important thing that we learn in all of this is that as Jesus ascends to the right hand of God the Father, he is the one who is in control. He is in charge, and that is a wonderful thing. Thanks be to God. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since we're talking about the ascension today, we're taking this time to celebrate the ascension of Jesus. I was spending some time this week thinking about just that word and how we use the word ascension. And I'm not just talking about us in the church either, like not just Christians, but how do people in general use the word ascend or ascension in everyday language? I think probably most often you hear people use the word ascend when they're just talking about someone or something physically moving upward, right? So something ascends when it goes up. So if you're getting on a plane, right, you're going to ascend up into the sky. Right? Or if you're going to go up a flight of stairs, right? You're ascending to the next floor, something like that. And, you know, certainly to a certain degree, that is partially what we're talking about when we talk about the ascension of Jesus, you know, because, I mean, there is a physical aspect to that. Jesus bodily goes up. And we heard in two of those passages earlier today from Acts and from Luke. We heard about how the disciples were watching him physically, bodily go up into the sky, and then all of a sudden they couldn't see him anymore because he's hidden by a cloud, right? So there is that aspect to it. But there's another way that people use the term ascend or ascension. And some of it has to do with when a person or when something rises in status or rises in power, right? So just for example, you know, someday when Queen Elizabeth is no longer the Queen of England, right, when she either steps down or passes away, what we're going to say is that Prince Charles will ascend the throne to be the king. And we don't just mean that he's going up, like physically walking up to the throne, but we mean he's ascending in rank, in power. Right? You could think of it like even a baseball team or any sports team. They ascend in the standings when they win a lot of games. Right? A business person ascends up the company ladder when they're promoted. Right? So the point is it's more than just a physical reality. There's a part of this word that implies something about power and authority. And certainly that is true of Jesus as well. When I think about the word ascension, one of the things that comes to mind, actually, this might sound strange, but the Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's actually, we probably call it an older movie now. It's like 25 years old. It came out in 1996, believe it or not. But that movie is essentially about an ascension. It's about the ascension of a fictional 1960s rock and roll band that calls themselves the Wonders from Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's just kind of interesting when you watch that movie, even though it's not a true story, it's interesting to see how they portray the characters reacting to that ascension that takes place in their lives, all the fame, all the glory that they achieve all at once. Because they literally start from nothing. They're just like a group of kids from Erie, PA, and you know, they're playing these talent shows and these pizza joints and stuff like that. And their first contract comes from this guy who lives in his camper and promises them that he's going to get their one song, That Thing You Do, on the radio. I mean, that's all it is. And then the whole plot changes when you have Tom Hanks's character come in. He plays a guy named Mr. White, and Mr. White offers them a real contract from a real record label, and he takes over as their manager. So he starts making changes, he starts giving them tips about style and presentation, and all of a sudden, they are ascending. And their song is ascending. I mean, I think they make it to like number 7 in the Billboard charts or something like that. So they're on top of the world. But of course, everything kind of goes awry. So, I mean, like I said, this is an older movie, 25 years old, but spoiler alert, the Wonders end up basically living up to their name. They end up being a one-hit wonder. Everything goes wrong. Everybody quits the band breaks up. It doesn't work out. So I bring that up just to say, when we're thinking about ascension from a worldly perspective or an earthly perspective, we're talking about temporary fame and glory and these kinds of things. It doesn't last. Even the greatest band manager, Mr. White, can't make it last. So if you have all of those different kinds of ascension then in your mind, then we can turn now to the epistle. So we look at this reading here from the beginning, the very beginning of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This is chapter 1. We take a look at the way that Paul describes the impact of the ascension of Jesus Christ on our lives of faith. It's really amazing here. He talks about a lot of power and authority, and obviously the power and authority that comes along with Jesus' ascension is much greater and much different from any other kind of earthly ascension you could possibly think of. When we start out reading this passage here in chapter 1, I think it's always helpful to remember, when Paul writes to the Ephesians, to remember how much he personally is connected to the Ephesians, how much he personally loves the Ephesians. In fact, Paul had spent more time in the city of Ephesus than anywhere else. He spent like 3 years there during his missionary journeys. He never spent that much time in any other place. So he really knows these people that he's writing to very, very well. And on top of that, he cares about them a whole lot. So in the first half of this passage that we have before us today, he's expressing that love and that concern for them. He's talking about how he prays for them all the time, that he thanks God for them, that he wants them, above all other things, to know about the hope that we have as Christians, that they would know and understand and believe what God has done for them through the gospel. But the real reason why this passage gets chosen for Ascension Day is because of everything that he mentions toward the back half, the second half of the passage. Because among the things that he wants the Ephesians to really know and believe and understand is the power that Jesus has as our risen and ascended Lord. So if you start at like verse 19, you just hear it in some of these phrases that Paul is using. He says things like, the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. He talks about his great might, God's great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He says he is above every name that is named. He says he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So again, you know, in other words, this day, because of everything that Paul is mentioning here, this day of ascension is about so much more than just, you know, watching Jesus go up, up, and away like a helium balloon, right? That's not really what we're talking about here, and that's not really why we're celebrating. But being seated at the right hand of God, it's so much more than just a physical location thing, right? It's about that real, true power and authority under Jesus' feet, right? So he ascends to his throne, and the earth is his footstool. He just kicks up his feet right on top of us, right? Because he's in charge. In other words, we have new management. We have a new manager. There's someone new who is in charge. And our manager is capable of a whole lot more than Mr. White was capable of in that thing you do. And that's a really good thing, because our previous manager was a whole lot worse than the guy who was in his camper in Erie, Pennsylvania. Our previous manager, before the ascension, was essentially the devil himself. And this is where I want to bring up that passage that I was referencing earlier from the book of Revelation, specifically from chapter 12. And I know sometimes as Christians, and I think especially as Lutherans, we are a little leery of studying the book of Revelation. You know, it seems really intimidating, and there's a lot in there that's kind of hard to understand, or at least it seems that way at first. But what I want to do is just talk briefly about one portion of this amazing vision that John sees. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I just want to describe some of this to you. In Revelation chapter 12, one of the things that John sees is a dragon. And not only does he see a dragon, but he also sees a woman who is pregnant and is about to give birth. So if we look at the way that this unfolds, what we come to understand is that the dragon represents Satan. Now, the woman, it's been debated over the years. A lot of times people want to say that this woman who's about to give birth must represent Mary, right? And I suppose you could kind of take it in that direction. I mean, Mary is the mother of our Lord. But as you study this passage, the woman who is about to give birth really represents all of God's chosen saints, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So I'm talking the Israelites of the Old Testament, and then eventually the Christians of the New Testament era, even including you and me. But what John sees happening with the dragon and with the woman, starting in verse 4, it sounds like this. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So you have a little bit of ascension language in there, right? This child who's ruling with a rod of iron, I mean, essentially, this is the Christ child. And the Christ child is he comes from God's people, Israel, and he's taken up. He's ascended to the throne of God. Now, the real question is, what happens because of this ascension? What takes place because of this? Well, verse 7. Now, war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down. Cool, right? But here's the point. Now, unfortunately, we don't have time in one sermon to unpack all of these amazing details and all that we would love to know about this great war in heaven with Michael and the angels and the demons fighting. But the main point is this. When that child is taken up to God, when he ascends into heaven, that means from that point forward, there is absolutely no room whatsoever for Satan to stand in God's angelic courts. He cannot stand there and accuse you anymore. He cannot make lies about you anymore. There is no room for Satan at all. See, for so long, going all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan has tried to claim that he's our manager, that he's in charge of us, that he has some sort of power and authority over our lives. But the ascension of Jesus means there's a new sheriff in town. There is no room for Satan at all whatsoever. Jesus is the new one who's in control, our new manager. So Satan might prowl around on the earth like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, but he knows that his days are numbered, and on the last day, he's going to be destroyed for good. So, back to the epistle then, just like what Paul says about the ascension, this new management, Jesus being in authority over us, gives us true hope. Because we belong to Christ by faith, that means all of these amazing and wonderful things that Jesus has earned, he also gives to you and me. And we're standing right here on the last Sunday of the Easter season, and we're still reminded today that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And in the same way that his resurrection becomes our resurrection, his ascension becomes our ascension too. There's a really great hymn in our hymnal that kind of spells this out. I don't know how familiar of a hymn it is, and I'm sorry I didn't include it in the service today. There's just a lot of ascension hymns to pick from. But it's hymn number 492, and I want to read to you the very first stanza. It says, "On Christ's ascension, I now build the hope of my ascension. This hope alone has always stilled all doubt and apprehension. For where the head is, there as well, I know his members are to dwell, when Christ will come and call them." You and I have an ascension to look forward to someday. And our ascension is going to be so much greater than any of these other earthly ascensions that I've mentioned, much greater than an earthly king or queen ascending the throne, much, much greater than some band manager of a one-hit wonder, right? We have an ascension that is eternal, an ascension that comes under the management of Jesus, our head, who will one day call us, his members, to himself in the heavenly realms. And yeah, in the meantime, we know that Satan is a sore loser, and he's going to keep trying to attack us at every step of the way. But it's just like getting on a plane. You remember, the higher we ascend, the smaller the earth looks down below, and the smaller the prince of this world looks down below. The day of our ascension might very well be the day that we breathe our last on this earth and we're called home to heaven. Or it might be the day that Jesus returns, if we're still alive when that happens. But either way, this is an ascension that never, ever ends. Christ has given us an eternal hope so that we know that what goes up never, ever will come back down. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Just a few updates in our prayer list today I want to bring to your attention. We've been praying for Bob Bailey. He's listed under hospitalized. He continues to improve after having some complications from COVID-19. And I understand he is moving, or maybe already has moved, into some sort of extended care facility in St. Louis. So we'll continue to pray for him. We're also going to be lifting Alma Mentor in our prayers today. She is normally under our ongoing health list. We're going to list her under hospitalized today. She was hospitalized last week with an obstruction in her intestines, but she is doing well. She avoided having surgery and looks like she might be back home as early as tomorrow. So we'll continue to pray for her recovery. And then finally, we are going to be lifting a prayer of thanksgiving up to the Lord for the wedding of Adam and Shane Brahmeyer, which took place here yesterday afternoon. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, since your Son has gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet, ascended in triumph, and seated at your right hand, so open our lips to sing praises to our King, rejoicing and living in the truth of his victory for us. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son has commanded us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Bless the proclamation of your church that many may believe, be baptized, and be saved. Bless the work of our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Oakville, and their pastor, Eric Wood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, since your Son will shatter kings when he executes judgment on the nations, keep all of our earthly leaders from acting in ways that will earn them his wrath. Bless them with wisdom to govern us in accord with your righteous ways. Guide and protect all those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all of the blessings you have granted to us in this life here on earth. We rejoice with those who rejoice, especially those who are celebrating special birthdays this week, including Zane, Juliana, Ryan, Macy, Deb, Thomas, Michaela, Jordan, Helen, Deborah, Quinn, Eunice, Karen, and Mary Lou. We also praise your name for the gifts of marriage and family. We ask you to bless all those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Nathan and Crystal and Hoogie, Roy and Carol Krieger, and Daniel and Ashley Rossi. We especially ask, Lord, that you would bless Adam and Shane Brahmeyer, who were married here yesterday afternoon. Help them to grow in love for you and for each other each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as believers in your Son's name, we call on you to deliver all who suffer in our midst from sickness of body and mind and every other power of the enemy, especially all those who are on our congregation's prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you those who have been hospitalized, especially Bob and Alma. And we pray for those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Ray, Richard, Carlene, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Diane, Brenda, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just another reminder that if you brought an offering or a tithe with you today, you may place that in the basket in the narthex. We're going to sing an offertory hymn at this time, which is Beautiful Savior.
Thank you.
Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is See the Lord Ascends in Triumph.
Thank you.
At this time, I'll invite our Sunday school teachers and students to dismiss over to the school. Good morning. Well, there's a lot going on around here, and maybe you've had a chance to look at some of it in the bulletin. I'm going to try to give you my best shortened version of the highlights, but we have a lot happening. The first thing that I want to mention is something that's going to happen pretty much right now, starting this afternoon. Many of you know that the PTL had to cancel the wine and beer tasting this year. And yet, there's still going to be an auction that takes place, except it's going to be an online auction. And that auction goes live today. And so, there's some information about that in the bulletin, but it's being run by the Lady Auction Service. And so, what you need to do is go to LadyAuctionService.com, L-E-H-D-E, AuctionService.com. You're going to look for the Hoyleton Benefit Auction, and that's ours. Just so you know, each one of our classrooms in the school, they did their own projects, so you can bid on those. There's a lot of other wonderful items that you can bid on. All of it goes to support our school through the PTL. If you have any questions about it, you can contact the school office or you can contact Mary Beth Sudmeyer, and this auction will run up until next Sunday, the 23rd at 5 p.m. So you've got all week long to go to LadyAuctionService.com and check that out. Okay, also, later tonight, there is YPS, so we want all of our youth, our high school youth, to join us 6 o'clock this evening, if you can. That'd be wonderful. And then this week is the last half week of the school year, so we have all of the wonderful end-of-the-year activities going on with that. There will be closing chapel on Wednesday, and also preschool graduation is happening tomorrow evening. That's at 6:30 in the Activity Center. So just take note of all of that if any of you have children in our school and you need to know about any of the schedules there. Then, this coming Sunday, next week, there's a couple really important things that are taking place since this is the end of the school year. Next Sunday is going to be our graduation Sunday. And so, as I've mentioned before, we're not going to have any seating available to the public here in the sanctuary next Sunday. And the reason for that is we're going to make sure that all of our graduates' families are able to attend here in person. However, if you would like to sign up for a seat that will be made available over in the Activity Center, you can certainly do that. That sign up is already live on our website and on the Facebook page. So we're going to be setting that up similar to how we did it on Palm Sunday. So you are invited to worship in a group if you'd like to. Or, you know, the live stream is also available for you to watch at home as well. It's your choice. But we want to let you know about that. Also, next Sunday, May 23rd, is going to be the final Sunday that the Dennings are with us here in Hoyleton. And so we want to make sure that the congregation has an opportunity to say farewell to them as they head off to Winfield, Kansas, and starting ministry there at Trinity Lutheran School. And so there is going to be a reception for the Dennings. So Chris and Rachel and Lydia and Toby will be here at 8:30 next Sunday. We got to do it before church because of all the graduation stuff that's happening after church. But we really hope that the congregation will come early to say farewell to the Dennings. You can give them a card if you'd like. We're going to have a basket for that. We're going to have receptions. We're going to have refreshments for that reception as well. So come and enjoy some food and fellowship and have an opportunity to say goodbye to Chris and Rachel and Lydia and Toby. Also, looking ahead, we have announced that on June 6th, we are planning to go back to normal. And so there's a big blurb in the bulletin today that kind of details some of what that means. There's a lot of bullet points there, trying to address some of the questions that have already come our way and have come to the Board of Elders since we made that announcement. A couple things that I wanted to highlight, though. We are going to be making a brand new list of Sunday morning greeters. So we haven't had any in-person greeters in a long time, and we're not going to just necessarily use the old list that we have because we know that not everybody is necessarily comfortable. So we're going to start from scratch. So if you are interested in being a greeter, and even if you've never ever done it before, we would love to put you on that list. Just let us know, call the office and tell Jane, I want to be a greeter. Put me on the schedule. It's a very simple and easy way to serve the Lord on a Sunday morning. So we hope that you'll consider doing that and being a greeter. A couple other things to notice is that you will no longer have to register for worship starting June 6th. So you won't have to sign up anymore. The ropes are going to be going away, so we're not going to be worrying about the social distance here in the sanctuary anymore starting on June 6th. We're also going to go back to our previous schedule where adult Bible class and Sunday school take place before the worship service at 8:30. Now, with one exception to that, on June 6th, since we're calling this Welcome Back Sunday, it's also going to be our confirmation reunion for this year. And so there's not going to be an adult Bible class on June 6th because that 8:30 hour is going to be used for the confirmation reunion. So the very first adult Bible study returning on Sunday morning will be on the following Sunday, June 13th. And I'll have more information in the bulletin about that in the weeks ahead. We're going to be receiving the offering here in the pews again. We are going to be receiving communion with the option of using the common cup, and we're going to be using the communion rail again. So all of those things that we haven't done in over a year are going to come back. We're going to hopefully remember how we used to do stuff, and I'll take some time to retrain the congregation on some of those procedures. The one thing that is going to remain the same is the communion schedule. What I mean by that is we're only going to have communion on the first, second, and fifth Sundays of the month. So before the pandemic, it was on the first and third, but we're going to stick with the schedule to stay with first and second, and if there's a fifth Sunday, we'll do it on the fifth. So third and fourth Sundays of the month, there will not be communion. Okay, so that's the one thing that's going to stay. But everything else is going to be coming back. Oh, and also, the live stream is going to stay. The live stream is not going away. So I know some people have asked, hey, now that we're going to go back to normal, are you going to get rid of the online thing? No, we're not getting rid of the live stream. We're going to continue to make that available. You know, there's lots of people who like to worship when they're traveling or maybe if they're sick, and so we don't want to take that away from folks who are doing that at home as well. If you have any questions about any of this stuff, please come and talk to me or please talk to one of the elders. We would be glad to help answer questions. And if there's something that we haven't figured out yet, that'll help us go back to the drawing board and have a conversation about those things. I think those are all the things that I wanted to highlight. Are there any other questions or concerns? Okay, seeing none. Have a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day outside. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hey, guys.